blessed week, a good week in the Lord. And I'm thankful for that song that we just sung, Stand Up for Jesus. I was coming across the parking lot from the parking there this morning, and I told my wife, I says, well, praise the Lord. I said, to the battle. That's what I said, and that's what I felt like all this week. Okay, thank you, sir. Appreciate you reminding me. Turn this thing on. Okay, how's that? And but anyway, you know, whenever you're going to teach and preach about the King James Bible and it being the absolute authority, and you teach and preach against all these false versions that's out there, you know what happens? You step into a spiritual warfare that is usually not, it steps it up another grade, in other words. We are fighting a battle every day against the devil, but he seems to step up everything whenever you start doing that, and this week has been one of those weeks. So, but we're thankful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he's with us. And who can harm us? Who can be against us when he's with us? And I'm thankful for that. Before we read anything here this morning and get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing on his precious word. And if you will, just go with me in prayer here. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for watching over us. Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather together, that we can fellowship with one another. And dear Lord, we can gather together around your precious word. And Father, I pray that you help me to teach it according to what you want me to say. Keep from me those things which does not need to be said. But Father, we ask that we would all glean something from your precious word today. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and the praise, for ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you will, turn in your Bibles this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, we're going to have to go through the Bible some today. I hope you don't mind that, turning some pages and so forth. I'm sure you don't mind that. And I teach this lesson just about every church we go to when I'm there long enough to do it and so forth. But you would be surprised the number of people when we get done teaching this lesson that comes by and says, wow, I never knew that. I didn't know the other versions left out so much, or they had changed so much of God's word and so forth. But we're going to see this morning some of those things. And Deuteronomy chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 2. Verse 2, the Bible says, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Now turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 32. In verse 32 says, what things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Now, I'm sorry if I'm going a little bit fast, but this is a long lesson. Proverbs chapter 30 and verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. That would do the Bible scholars and the Bible correctors out there that we have today, and many of the professors in the Bible colleges and schools, it would do them well to read that verse of Scripture right there, and so forth. Because God says, add not. I mean, he's very explicit on that. Add thou not unto his words. But they do it anyway without even taking a second thought, without any kind of conviction about it, and without any remorse about it, and so forth, without any fear about it. Revelation chapter 22, if you will. Revelation chapter 22.
I always try to give this verse of scriptures as well along with it, because some people, believe it or not, some people say, well, you're just reading from the Old Testament with the other. Well, let's see what the New Testament says too. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. And I don't think it's just talking about Revelation. I think it's from Genesis to Revelation. Okay, because it's full of prophecy. The whole Bible is. And God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He that testifieth, I skipped verse 18. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, my friends, let me tell you something. Here's what I believe. I believe that the Word of God, our King James Bible, is a sacred book. I believe that wholeheartedly. It's not just any book. And it's not just a book written by men. This book is full of the words from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, and these are the very words of God. His very words. And we ought to accept that, we ought to believe that, but we ought to honor that and respect it. These people that comes out here and then says, well, I think we need to put up another kind of version of the Bible, or the better rendering is in the Greek and the Hebrew and such as that. My friends, let me tell you something. They have no respect and no regard for God Almighty, because these are His words. And since this book is sacred, it's not to be altered. Not to be altered in one way or the other. And these verses of scripture that I just read to you, that's what God is trying to tell us. They are not to be touched. They are not to be tampered with. They're not to be added to. They're not to be taken away from. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 14. See, there's something wrong. And tonight, on Lord willing, we'll be back tonight, I'm going to preach on the attack on the Bible tonight. And right now in Isaiah 59 verse 14, the Bible says, and judgment is turned away backward. Yes, it is. That's right. That's what's wrong with our country. No, I mean, our leaders or no one can rightly judge anything anymore. They're just as backward as can be. And you're talking about evolution. That's supposed to be making things better. Man's supposed to be getting, no, it's devolving. Man's devolving. They're getting worse all the time because they're going away from God. And they won't believe God's word, and they change God's word. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth, and here's the reason why there is no justice. It's the reason why it's turned away backward. That's the reason why it stands afar off. Because, right here it is, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. That's what's wrong right there. Bottom line, that's what's wrong with our country. Now, I'd like to go on to say that this is the very reason our country's in the condition it is because they've tampered with the Word of God. Because they had no respect for it. They had no regard for the Word of God. And they said back in 1880 and 1900, they said, well, we'll just come out with these other versions, and it'll be an easier read for people. And we'll just go ahead and push this king. That was their sole goal of bringing out those other versions, was to destroy this book. That's what it was. They didn't want this book to remain in the publishing hands, you see. They didn't want it to remain in the man's hands, in common man's hands. They didn't want that. They wanted to put a false version, and they thought surely, and the devil was behind this, surely if we'll get this other version and tell them it's easier to read and so forth, we'll place that in their hands and they'll get rid of the old black book. And that's exactly what's happened in our country in a great many circles. Yes. And, they don't just come out here and knock on your door. to try to put them in your hands. But no, they enter our schools, our Christian schools, our Christian colleges and seminaries, and they'll put in place professors and so forth that will teach against our Bible. And I know several men in past years. They went off to a Bible college tour. They didn't really check that thing out, what they were going to be teaching about the Hebrew and Greek and whether they stood on the King James or not. And they got in that class. And when they left home to go to college, they left home with a King James Bible, believing that that's the Word of God. But when they graduated from a college that took their Bible away from them, they come out, oh, well, there's a better rendering than this Greek text here. I know some of them, they'll carry around their little Greek book, you know, their little Greek Bible, along with their other Bible, you know, to try to prove to you and I that, oh, no, this is a better understanding here. We can get the better meaning. What? Does people not understand? That's the reason why this country is in the condition that is in. We've left God's words. God's words are truth and absolute truth. God's words has been altered in these false versions. They've been denied by lying Christian scholars and lying Christian professors. They've been trampled on. God's word has been trampled under dirty streets and sewers when it says right there, truth is fallen in the street. My goodness alive. When you have a picture of that, God's word being truth, and you have this truth that says it's fallen in the street. It hasn't just fallen out there. It's been cast out there into some dirty street, and it's just going down the sewer like a piece of garbage. That's what mankind this day and time thinks about our Bible. That's what they think about it. No wonder our churches doesn't have young people in it. They've took the book away from them. What are they? And when I witness to young people, you know what the most number one common question amongst all of them is? Well, which Bible is right? Or which Bible is correct? Can you believe that? That's it. You said it right there. Yes, sir. You alter God's words. You take away, you add to it. That brings on confusion. That's exactly right. The purpose of the truth. The truth of God's word has fallen in the street. They wanted to change God's words, and they've done this. These Bible corruptors, they've added to it, they've subtracted it. In other words, they have stolen God's words from a blood-washed, born-again Christian, from the children of God. This book right here is our sustaining food, spiritual food. It's our sustaining food. How else are we to fight a battle against the devil? How else are we to stand as the song we just played and sang? How are we to stand for what's right and stand against for what's wrong when people don't have the book? When the book has been altered by some other version and so forth. I tell you, these Bible corruptors and so forth, and these Bible scholars that teaches against the Word of God, they're nothing but deceivers. I'm up front with you on that thing. They're deceivers. I've talked to them. And they make statements such as a better rendering in the Greek, or the Greek word or a manuscript is more accurate than your English King James Bible, my friend. I'm telling you, they're deceivers. They say you can understand the new versions better. Oh, the new versions are easier to read. Did you know there's been studies done? And Gail Ripplinger, anybody know her? You know her, Gail Ripplinger? No? Okay, she wrote, I wish I'd have brought the book with me then. She has several books, but one of her greatest books of all is New Age Bible Versions. And it's over 1,000 pages long. And now this lady, she lives in Virginia. I've talked to her and her husband. They sent me a whole case of those books. I bought them from them years back, and I would pass them out to people that I would witness to, that and preachers and so forth, that had gone away from the King James Bible. And I would show them from her book, look, here's the stuff that's been taken from our Bible, you see. And they would look, wow, are you serious? And I would just give them one of these books. And there's pamphlets, kind of like the one you have back there, the yellow pamphlet, about the different versions, been what they've left out. But she has a pamphlet called the New Age Bible Versions as well. And it's formatted a lot like that. But it's real good. But she'd done a seven-year study in order to write that book. And most of those years, five out of seven was on her back in the bed. Because the devil attacked her so much over that thing. But she's well knowledgeable in that thing. And what I was leading up to tell you about that, I had bought one of those books, come across it in a Christian bookstore. And this was in the year 2000. And I had always used the King James Bible ever since I got saved in 1987. But I didn't know anything about the other versions. Not a thing. I'd never really looked at one or anything like that. And so I picked this up and I began reading it that week. And I read a couple hundred pages that week. And that Friday night, the church I was attending at that time, they had a Christian school. And they were having a basketball game that Friday night. So I stopped by after work and I was standing there at the bleachers and, you know, watching them play basketball. And the assistant pastor of that church came up to me and we just talked in general about our weeks going on and everything. And everything was real, real good. I had a lot of respect for him. Had heard him, I'd sat under him preaching many times when the pastor was gone or something on vacation or whatever. And he would lift up the Bible, the King James, this is our book. It's the infallible, inerrant word of God. I believe every word of it. And I really trusted him and trusted our pastor because he had done the same thing. But lo and behold, that night standing there at that basketball game, I was excited about what I had found out that week reading in that book, New Age Bible Versions, and how they had distorted and altered God's words in all these other versions. And I mean, boy, I was excited about that thing. I just wanted to tell somebody about what I'd learned that week, you know? It's kind of like a kid with a newfound toy or something, you know? Okay. But, and I started telling him, you know, about what I'd been reading, you know? And I thought, sure, him being a King James man, that he would have been excited for me and with me. But to my surprise, you know what he said all of a sudden? He just cut me off. And you know what he said? And Brother Mike, you don't have to be a fanatic about that book, the Bible. That's what he told me. I'm going to tell you, my heart felt like it fell down in my stomach, you know. And I thought, well, I didn't hear him right. And I said, what did you say? He said, you don't have to be a fanatic about that Bible. He says, all Bibles are good. They're all the same. There's no difference. He said, the wording may be changed a little bit, but he says, my professor taught me in school. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. My professor taught me in school that the originals, that's the inspired word of God. I know, I didn't know anything about that. I can tell you now that there's no originals. Nobody has even one piece of the original. They're all copies from the manuscripts. But they'll swear up and down only the originals. And they'll come against you whenever you say, well, this Bible's inspired, this King James Bible. I believe every word of it. And I believe God said it and man wrote it exactly. Double inspiration. Well, call it what you will. I believe it was God's words and he spoke it. I'm just that simple-minded. And I got that much faith in my God. But anyway, the conversation continued on between he and I, and it didn't get any better. And he was standing there and he's telling me all this, and I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, I said, I have already found out, and I said, I'm going to search it out even more this coming week of where these false versions, how much they have altered God's words. And he said, and he continued on talking about his school and his college, his professor and all this. He said, I've got some papers that you need to read from my professor. And he says, I think he says they'll change your mind. And about that time, the pastor walked up. And he comes walking up and he says, what you boys talking about? And so I told him, because the assistant pastor didn't speak up to say. So I told him about what I'd found out that week. And again, this time my heart dropped to my feet. He just took me by the shoulder and squeezed my shoulder. Now, Brother Mike, you don't have to be a fanatic about that Bible. And I said, with all due respect to both of you men, I said, you want to label me as a fanatic? Then so be it. I'll be a fanatic for it. And because I believe every word of it. And I don't believe that it should be tampered with. And he commenced to tell me, he says, I know what's wrong with you. I said, what's that? He says, you've been around and got in touch with some of them people down there in Florida now. So he told me. I hadn't been to Florida since I was 5 years old. And it sure wasn't around no Bible believers then. And I says, really? I said, who are you talking about in Florida? And he says, you know who I'm talking about. I said, honestly, I don't. I said, all I did was buy a book in a Christian bookstore in Burlington, North Carolina. And come to find out, I went home and I searched out talking about in Florida. And I found out he was talking about Dr. Ruckman. That's who he was talking about. And so I said, well, why about that now? So anyway, a couple of years later, I was down and I was going to school there. But anyway, long story short, I did not stay at that church but 5 more weeks. Because every week, because I was an adult Sunday school teacher, I'd walk into my class and on the podium lay a pile of papers against our Bible. Where a professor had written. This assistant pastor was leaving. He wouldn't hand them to me personally. He'd leave them on my podium in the classroom. I'm talking about anywhere from 20 to 30 pages of it. Yeah. Trying to change me. Trying to get me to surrender my sword. And I wouldn't do it. I would not do it. So, I stand on the Word of God. The precious Word of God. The King James Bible. The originals are the closest things to God's word, they say. They're liars. These other versions are easier to understand than your old black book. They're liars. It is a fact, a noted fact. Studies have been done that the King James Bible is written on a fifth grade level reading scale. Fifth grade reading scale. Anybody ever heard of that? You go out there and try to read one of them false versions and see what kind of scale that's on. I mean, my goodness. So anyway, my question to them, all them Bible scholars and anybody I run into that tries to tell me that the originals are the closest thing, I'll say to them, where is the original? Have you read them? Have you seen them? Where are they? Go back to your class, your school, your college, ask your professor, where is the original? Has he seen it? Has he handled it with his own hands? I handle the inspired Word of God with my own hands. I handle it. I read it. I study it. Well, when they've been backed into the corner, they ain't got nowhere else to run. They ain't got no more excuses. You know what they'll say? I found out over the years, the past 15, 20 years now, just as that pastor told me that night, and I didn't know who he was talking to, even he called his name, they'll say, well, you're a Ruckmanite. That's what they label me as, because I believe in that book. I believed in this book 13 years before I ever heard of Dr. Ruckman. This right here was my final authority before I ever heard of Dr. Ruckman. So I just want to settle that. It is my final authority. It's just simple enough to believe it wholeheartedly that God can keep and preserve His words and contain them in a book for you and I. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words. That's in your King James Bible. You don't have to run to no Greek and Hebrew to see it. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now notice what verse 7 says. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. God didn't say that a man was going to keep them. He didn't say that somebody of higher learning and criticism and everything else was going to keep them. He said he's going to keep them. And I'm just simple-minded enough to believe that God can keep his words true and pure. I believe it. And he has done it. Bible says continually in verse 7, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Forever. In your King James Bible, you have 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. You got 1,189 chapters. Whenever you add that 1,189 together, you come up with a 19, number 19. That sum of 19. And not number of 19 in your Bible is a number of faith. That's what it stands for, 19 does. Faith. Faith. In the Bible, there is 31,102 verses in your King James Bible. Not in any of the false versions. And when you add those numbers together, what number do you get? 3 plus 1 plus 1 plus 2 is 7. And we all know what that number means in the Bible. That's it. It means God's completion, God's perfection. That's what it means. You can't do that with any other, with false versions. Because they've left out chapters and verses. So you can't come up with that total. See how God has orchestrated his Bible? I teach on numbers and so forth. Like just for instance, the Holy Bible, 9 letters. How many fruits of the Spirit is there? 9. And it goes on and on. There's so many 9s in the Bible. But you can only do it with the King James Bible. Matter of fact, King James has 9 letters. There you have it. Furthermore, there's 7,783,137 words. In those words, in a King James Bible, 783,137. In the NIV alone, there is 63,625 words been deleted, diminished, as the Bible calls it. That's an atrocity. It's an atrocity. Well, let's look at some examples of what the true Word of God says versus what the Bible corrector says it should say. Brother Solomon, would you look up in that over there and read Luke chapter 4, verse 4. And Brother Randy, will you look up chapter 4, verse 18. And Brother Jimmy, will you look up Luke chapter 9, verse 56. Okay, yours is Luke chapter 4, verse 4. Luke chapter 4, and I'll be turning there as well. Luke chapter 4, verse 4, please, sir. Is it there? See, it's even hard to read an NIV because they write it like a storybook. They don't start off verse of scriptures with a number on that card right there first, where you can where it's dissected, I would call it, so that you can memorize Scripture. Like, for instance, go ahead, brother, did you find verse 4? Is it in there?
Yes, sir.
What's it say? Okay. Now, in your King James Bible, did somebody look it up in their King James Bible? Would somebody please read that for me? Anybody?
And Jesus answered, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.
Now, did you hear what's missing? They've got the first part of that. But only that man should not live by bread alone. Well, we all know that. We couldn't survive without water, right? And we couldn't survive without other nutrients. But they left out, but by every word of God. Now, why and who, may I ask you, would want to leave that out? The devil. That's the reason why I call all those versions satanic, because they are. Only the devil don't want Christian people to know that you got to live by every word of God. It's not about the food and raiment of your body, but it's about your spiritual growth, you see. Your spiritual nourishment. If you will, you done closed up. Read verse 8 for me. Verse 8. And they're all just, I mean, it's weird. I don't know if you ever looked at an NIV before. But it's just, take a look at that after class, if you will. Okay. What's left out? Get thee behind me, Satan.
Yeah,
NIV. That's exactly what. And y'all that have the other versions that I passed out to you, you'll see the same thing that's gone in it. One that's masterminding these false versions took his very own name out of there. Because he didn't want to be recognized. Get thee behind me, Satan. He said, I'll just remove that part. Nobody needs to know who's tampering with the word. Nobody needs to know who their enemy is. So he removes his name, his title, every time he gets a chance. Verse 8, Luke 4, 18. Who had that? All right, Brother Randy. I don't think a fifth grader could understand that. What a mess of mumbo jumbo. That's what I call it. Now I'm going to read verse 18 out of the King James Bible. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath healed the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. What did they leave out? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, who would want to leave out that Jesus was sent to heal the brokenhearted? It's the very one that wants you to be brokenhearted. The very one that tries his best to break your heart in everything and every way he can. Well, let's do one more here. Brother Jimmy, I think 9:56, is that right? Okay. Luke chapter 9, verse 56. Go ahead and start 55 if you want to. Okay. Verse 56, 55. and 56. But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. They omitted 16 of the most precious words of all right there. And what they have written there don't even jive. It don't even line up. And you'll find that through and through whenever you sit down and you see, put your King James Bible down beside of these false versions, you'll see what they have missing. I'm telling you, there's some lights came on whenever I did that. My goodness. And I don't have time. I know it's running out of time here. But Mark chapter 7, verse 16, they omitted the entire verse there. It's gone. Mark chapter 9, verse 44 and 46, both verses are gone. Mark chapter 11, verse 26, the entire verse is gone. Let's see, Mark chapter 16, the very last chapter of Mark, they really attacked that. There is 12 verses, the last 12 verses, they completely obliterated. The last 12 verses. And when you get into John, they'll omit the word begotten. And they'll exchange it for the one and only. They don't like, Satan don't want people knowing that God says that Jesus is his only begotten son. You see. You go down to Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. The whole verse. Verse 37 is gone. And the verse that talks about the eunuch getting saved. Getting saved right there. It goes from talking about it to being baptized. No wonder you got so many false cults out there. The attack of his deity goes all the way through the Bible as well. But folks, I tell you, we need to stand upon God's words. And we need to believe them, and we need to honor them, we need to respect them, because we have them right here. Amen. Undeniable. All right. Brother Jimmy, would you dismiss us in prayer here?